Seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. My name is Jane Wiseman, and I'm the duty elder this morning. If we have any visitors worshiping with us today, welcome. And we'd ask that you please sign the guest book at the front entrance. And following the service, please join us downstairs for a time of fellowship and refreshments. Couple of announcements. The outdoor service is next week, weather permitting, so hopefully it's a day like today. And please bring your own lawn chair. And there are several openings in the fall for flowers, so if you could possibly check the sheet downstairs and sign up. And today's the last day that anybody signed up for greeters, so please check the list and put your name on if you can help. We'll take a moment to prepare for worship.
Psalm 119, verse 130 tells us that there is an unfolding of the Word, that's of God's Word, that gives light. And as we light the Christ candle this morning, we think of that light that has come and unfolded in our lives, and as we are reminded that Christ, who is the Word, is also the light of the world. He came to give us light so that we might, in turn, unfold and give that light to others. This light is a free gift from God to all creation. Christ is here leading us in worship this morning of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
The responsive call of worship is printed in your bulletin. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him. Give praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful works.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, let us now worship our God and Creator. Our first hymn is Rock of Ages, number 240.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As we're going to hear later this morning from the book of Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from God's love. We come before God this morning with our prayers of confession, prayers of adoration, followed by the Lord's Prayer. This is a time for us to consider where we've been in the last few number of days, this last week, the things that we may have said or not said, things we may have done or not done that have caused us to step away from God's path. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, like Solomon in so many ways, you've given each of us a dream of your world made whole. We can see this in Scripture. We can see this in our life in Christ. A heavenly realm that is near in heart and close at hand, and it's ours to choose each day. We make these choices in the various things that we say and do every moment of every day. May our smallest acts of courtesy, when transformed by your love, grow abundantly into a realm that's flourishing for all. Today's scriptures, as Christ talks, speak so much of this change that takes place in life. And Lord, that we confess to you this morning that there have been times when we have not really reflected that change in our life. The Christian life is about very radical change that takes place from where we once were to where we are in Christ now and forever. And Lord, there have been times that we have not lived up to that with upright hearts. There have been times when we've chosen our ways and not looked for yours, when instead of being something that's growing up and flourishing as you call us to do, we do everything we can to do the exact opposite. We don't put good soil around us. We don't nurture and feed our souls the way we should. And we don't look at others and try to do the same for them, Lord. So, Lord, forgive us for failing to follow you. And we ask that you will guide our feet in our ways day to day, that we can serve you. And, Lord, that we can hear you calling us and respond appropriately. And for those moments, Lord, when we haven't done that, we do pray for forgiveness. We repent. We turn our ways towards you, away from our own. And, Lord, now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are forgiven. We are at peace, and we are knowing that all things work together for the good for those who love God. Amen. We'll join now in our children's hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. Number 746, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Hi, guys. Were you here last week? Were you here last Sunday? No? Okay. So you didn't miss me. That's where I was going with that, you could tell. And you see, we've got things set up for next week for our VBS time. You're coming to that. I know that. We're looking forward to that. I have two things I wanted to talk to you today. I had just originally one thing, but then I got thinking about it, and there were actually two different things I wanted to tell you about this morning. And the first was, has to do with plants. And I picked this plant, it's a little bit droopy today, I picked this plant for my garden this morning. And I don't think you probably can guess even what kind of plant this is. Anybody else have an idea? Yeah. Lily of the Valley, that's right. And I have a picture here of what the flowers look like from Lily of the Valley. I wanted to show you so you could see. Normally there's flowers on it, but there didn't happen to be any on ours at this time. And you people all recognize Lily of the Valley flowers. And those flowers there grow on this plant. They come up from the center. And they're very delicate and they smell lovely. And a friend of mine, many, many years ago, gave us some Lily of the Valley. And Lily of the Valley seeds... Well, there's a few different ones. See how tiny that is?
We have
those at home. Yeah, see how tiny this is, that seed? From that little tiny seed grows this plant. But not just this plant. If anybody that's planted Lily of the Valley, and when I got Lily of the Valley had no idea, Lily of the Valley is like a weed. It's a very pretty weed, but it completely takes over the garden. And I have another picture here I was going to show you, although it's not the best picture. This is a big, yeah, here's a big field. See all this stuff here? That's all Lily of the Valley. See, it's a whole field. I'll just hold it up just to give you an idea. The whole field is covered in Lily of the Valley. And when we planted this little seed and it grew into this lovely little plant in our entire garden got taken over by this plant all over the place. And in fact, it choked out all the other plants. And it just goes to show that from a little tiny seed like I showed you, something really big can happen. And Jesus talks about that when he talks about this mustard seed. The mustard seed's a very, very small plant too, and it grows about this high, and it's kind of like a weed too. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on this morning, about what a mustard seed is like. And I wanted just to think that it just takes a little bit of belief in God, a little bit of trust, and a little bit of faith in God, that lots of things can happen and lots of great things can take place and grow. Now the other thing I wanted to talk about is talking to God. And I wanted to know if you guys have ever made one of these. It's a telephone. You guys I know have, because you know, you played with sticks and a hoop and all that stuff like me. So
you should see how many my dad has.
Of these? Yeah. Have you seen this before? You know how this works? This is a cup, two cups, with a piece of string in between. And I'm going to give each of you a try at this. If you take this cup and put it up to your ear, and I got to pull it tight, so hang on to it. You got to pull it really tight. Can you hear what I'm saying? You can hear it really well. Give it to your brother and try that. You got to pull it tight just a minute. Can you hear what I'm saying? Yeah? And give it to the next one on. I know you're hearing it in the microphone a little bit. Yeah, you give it a try too. Nice and tight, you gotta pull it nice and tight.
Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Yeah, you can hear it.
Yeah. Doesn't take very much, and it's just a piece of string and two paper cups, and you can have a telephone. And we used to call this telephone. Yeah, and you can just take as much string as you want and make one of these really easy. Just poke a nice little hole. And you put the string through and tie a knot. And when you pull the string nice and tight, the voice travels. And you know, it doesn't take much for us to talk to God. When we pray, it's kind of like this. We have a quiet time with God, and we can talk to God, and God's listening to us. And it's a little tiny voice that we have somewhat, but God can hear us very, very clearly. And so that's what we want to remember about sharing our faith and having a little bit of faith and talking to God. It's important that we do that. God hears us, even when it looks like that wouldn't even possibly work as a little telephone. Right? Let's have a little prayer together, okay? Come on. All right. Okay. You can say after me and you can too. Dear Jesus, thank you for faith, and only a little bit goes a long way. And thank you that you listen to us when we pray and talk to you. Lord Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. You can head off to Sunday school and have a good time, and we'll sing the last verse of our hymn. As we prepare to hear God's Word read this morning, let's take a moment to just ask the Spirit of God to quiet our minds and hearts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Enlightening God, I've already mentioned that it says in Psalm 119 about this unfolding of your Word, and this unfolding of your Word gives light and provides wisdom to all who seek it in your truth. Lord, open our hearts and minds in the presence of your Spirit, that the mystery of your heavenly realm is made evident here on earth. Speak to us this morning through your scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our responsive psalm found in your psalters in your pews this morning is taken once again from Psalm 119, this time verses 129 to 136. And these verses contain both passion and insight. And as I've mentioned before, Psalm 119 has each line of the successive verses or stanzas start with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Today's reading is the Pei stanza, or the letter P in the English, I suppose. So that each line would begin with the letter P. And it's quite a bit of skill that's required, and we lose that in the English translation, to say that each of these eight verses in a time will begin with a different letter of the alphabet. And it helps for memorization, but it also helps to bring about a theme that's in each of these different groups. Most of Psalm 119 is about Torah, or the law, or commandments. And it's speaking directly to God, and is therefore kind of in a form of a prayer. And this section defies a bit of labeling in some respects, but it reverses the usual flow of the Song of Lament. So remember, I've talked about lament, where there's usually, you begin with a complaint to God, and then you end with an affirmation of this is what God and I are going to be doing. This stanza begins kind of with an affirmation, and then it ends with a complaint or a lament. And the emotional effect, it's quite touching when you try to understand it in that capacity. And it's something for us to think about, this deeper sense of understanding what God's law is all about. It's God's love for us, and God's respect for us, and God's guidance for us in our lives. So let's read responsibly Psalm 119, beginning at verse 129.
Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. With open mouth I pant, because I long for your commandments. Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and never let iniquity have dominion over me. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes.
Thank you, Jane. Our Old Testament reading is taken from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. That's page 306 in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. Our reading this morning takes place at the very sort of beginning of the life of King Solomon. As you remember, there was first King Saul, and then there was King David, and then David's son, Solomon. And Solomon is now king since David has died. And the image of a pious Solomon disappears a little bit in this particular reading because he's sleeping in his bed, he's having a dream, and God is speaking to him. There is no place to worship at this point because Solomon has yet to build his temple in Jerusalem. So he's in Gibeon, and that's where he's worshiping. And God is trying to speak with him and ask him what it is that he really wants as the new king. And Solomon asks for a listening heart. And the NRSV says understanding mind, but the phrase that's actually used here is a listening heart. And this really shows Solomon's humility because he could have asked for anything from God as the new king. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for power. He could have asked for more land. He could have asked for any number of things. But he asked to be able to listen and discern. And we see that clearly when we think of Solomon and his wisdom. And we think of that listening heart and a discerning heart when we think of Solomon's wisdom. Something that we can learn very much from. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You've shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you've kept him for this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." Our New Testament reading is found in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. And it's page 158 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. This text is sort of winding up a bit of Paul's conversation that he began in chapter 5, which we were reading a few weeks back, and he's elaborating on suffering and on hope. And these verses provide a brilliant and moving closing statement that rests on the power of God's love, as we'll see towards the end of this reading. Paul's concern is not existential, it's not psychological, it's not even individual. It's about the completion of God's creation, already begun through Christ and intended from the beginning of the world. Paul is describing very much about how God's Spirit speaks, and that's what that little thing with the cups and the string was. The Spirit of God can translate. He's almost like he's that string between us and God. And sometimes it says, even if we don't know the words, the Spirit of God utters them for us and on our behalf. If we have hope, as Paul talks about, in the midst of our suffering, it rests in God's love. That love that makes God's own, his children, one with Christ. And this is a hope that can never be taken away by anything or anyone. Romans 8, 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? God is for us. Who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We're reading sort of two segments of that, verses 31 to 33 and then 44 to 52. And Jesus is talking about, he's still in sort of the same section, he's telling parables, and we know this, the parables of the mustard seed and leaven. There's a distinct sort of thing that's going on, and he's talked about the parable of the weeds prior to this. These two parables are talking about something that's quite interesting when we study sort of the history of it. The mustard seed and leaven are talking about something that's not favorable, something that is not considered to be clean, so to speak, in their terms, there being the Jewish terms of the time. Mustard seed, we use mustard today to make mustard, but in their day, the mustard shrub was really not much more than a weed that grew, and it was hard to control, kind of like a story, like I said, about Lily of the Valley. Once it takes hold, it's hard to get rid of. And a little tiny seed, one of the smallest seeds that they would have known in those days, turns into this great huge area that takes over and kills off everything and takes over in such a great way. From one small spark comes this giant crop of plant. And the leaven or the yeast is very similar. A small amount is used certainly in kitchens today, but in the culture, leaven was almost universally understood as something evil or unclean. The leavening agent of the time was created by setting aside a portion of leftover bread to spoil in order to create leaven for future baking. Not spoiled enough, it's worthless, and it cannot cause the new batter to rise. Allowed to spoil too long, and it ruins the bread, and it actually results in food poisoning. Leaven can be fatal, but only a small portion, like the mustard seed, is needed to leaven the flour. The three measures of meal, which with the woman mixes the leaven, would produce enough bread for an entire wedding feast. Again, the parallel that Jesus is taking is something that would be considered something not so good necessarily, but is something that produces great, great abundance and great something that's very worthwhile. And he's drawing these parallels with these parables that he's telling. So Matthew 13, beginning at verse 31. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it with three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. And then down to 44. The kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught every fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good in baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of God. Let's join together now in our next hymn, Amazing Grace. And we'll be talking a lot about that this morning. Amazing Grace, number 670. Please be seated. One day not too long ago, a lady went to her pastor or minister and said, Pastor, I've decided that I'm not going to be coming to your church anymore. And the pastor responded, why? The lady said, well, I saw a woman gossiping about another member. I saw a man that's a real hypocrite. I saw people sleeping during the service. Lots of people who aren't very friendly. And that's just among so many other things that clearly are wrong in your church. All these people are just not living God's love, and I need to go somewhere else. So the pastor replied, okay, before you go, I want you to do something. And then you come back and you talk to me. I want you to take this cup, and I'm going to fill it with water. Oops. Right to the brim. And then I want you to take this cup of water, and I want you to walk around the church. And when you've done that, come back and talk to me. So she said, yeah, okay, I guess I can do that. I take that water, and I can walk around the church. I can do that. So she did that. She came back, and she said, you know, I've walked three times around the church, because that's, you know, further instruction, and I think I'm still ready to go. And the pastor said, well, you know, before you leave, I want to ask you one more question. When you were walking around the church with that cup of water, did you see anybody gossiping? And she said, no. Did you see anybody sleeping in the church? No. Any hypocrites? No. Anyone not being friendly to you? No. Do you know why? No, I really don't. Because you were focused on that cup of water. You were focused on it to make sure you didn't stumble and you didn't spill any water at all. And you know, it's the same in our life. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't have time to really be seeing the mistakes of other people around us. What we can do, maybe, is to help reach out to a helping hand to help others concentrate on their own walk with God so they don't spill. Oftentimes, when what we think separates us from the love of God and Jesus are the things that don't even really matter, because we need to be focusing on our relationship with God and that walk that we take around in our life. And it makes all the difference for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we've all come to church today with lots of different things on our minds and all sorts of different expectations. And that's a good thing, Lord. Spirit of God, we ask that you will focus our thoughts. Help us, as we just heard in this story of this cup of water, to concentrate on you and your word. And if we've got troubles on our mind, if we've got lunch plans occupying our thoughts, if we've got anything other than you keeping us from experiencing your presence right here and now, we ask that you put them away for a few minutes. Help us to do that. Speak to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' mighty healing name. Amen. Firstly, one thing I want to point out about God's love, and we heard that when we read Psalms, and when we talked, when we read about Solomon. Solomon in his dream, one of the first things he says to God is, I know your love is never ending. God's love is never ending. And Paul spends a great deal of time talking about that in Romans. The idea of these weeds that take over, this mustard seed and the lily of the valley, whatever it may be, the idea is that this little tiny thing just takes over. It's God's love is never ending. And as I kept trying to pull, and Don and I were pulling Lily of the Valley out for years, it kept coming back. It was never ending, it seemed. And in a way, there's a real analogy there about God's love. It also means that God's love for us is not conditional, especially regarding the people in the church. God's love just is. It's there, it's here, it's now, and it's constant. Secondly, because God's love is never-ending, it's consistent regardless of circumstance or people. And as Paul puts it, nothing can separate us from that love. We try. We make excuses. Often we point at things and people and their actions and blame all of that stuff for the lack of an experience of God's love in our own lives. The reality is, nothing really stops God's love from being in our lives. What can stop is our experience of God's love. And it's all too often caused by our own inability to see it and experience it. Because again, like the cup of water, we're not looking at God's love, we're looking at everything around us. And when we do that, we kind of spill the cup. And we miss the point of what we're doing. We're blinded often by the things around us, and maybe the actions of other people that we have in our lives. But those things don't stop God's love. You know, in a way, it's also kind of like putting up an umbrella on a sunny day and then claiming the sun isn't shining because all you can see is shade. And it's shady where you are when you look down, but that doesn't mean there isn't sunshine everywhere else. That doesn't mean the sun stopped shining just because you've blocked it out. Just because people around us don't necessarily seem to be showing God's love, that doesn't mean God's love isn't there. If we look closely at verse 35 in Romans 8, it doesn't say, well, let me say what it does say. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? It doesn't say what will separate us from the love of Christ. It says who. And I believe there's a good reason for that designator. The words that follow that verse, hardship, distress, persecution, famine, the need for food, nakedness, the need for clothing or housing, peril, sword, physical harm. All of these things could just as easily be descriptions of the actions of the who, other people in our lives. The who we have. Other people can certainly cause us to have bad personal feelings, such as hardship, distress, persecution, and feeling like we need more food, need for clothing, peril, or physical harm. We can blame others for all of these things, but the point is that none of these things, none of these who, if we want, will separate us from God's love. And it's true, because the Bible says so. Well, if the actions of others can't stop or even change God's love for us or them, then we had best be changing our attitude when we feel put out like that lady in the story and unable to see God's love because of the actions of other people. One of the key reasons I believe that we are here as a congregation, as God's people, as the church with a capital C, it's to be in the process of being healed and renewed in spirit, mind, and body by experiencing daily that love, that never-ending love of God in our life. I want to say that again because it's very important. One of the key reasons we are here as a congregation, as God's people, as the church, is to be in the process of being healed and renewed in spirit, mind, and body by experiencing the love of God in our lives. If we were already perfect simply because we were at church and claiming to be Christians, really, what would be the point of Jesus in our ongoing daily experience of our life? The fact of the matter is that we are being made perfect. We are not already perfect. Philippians 3:12 says this, and again it's Paul. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I have, which also was laid hold of by Christ. Paul even says, the Scripture tells us, we're not there yet. We're in the process. We're in the process of change. We're not complete in that change yet. Like you wouldn't stop, like I guess where I'm going with this is some people stop coming to church because they say, the people in church, you know, they're terrible. In a way, that's a good thing because God's working on us. He doesn't expect us to be bad. Paul talks about that when we remember, we read in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Being bad does not mean that God's grace can abound. So should we continue to be bad? No. But the point is, we're here to be being made better in Christ. We're being here to be perfected in Christ. People who don't go to church because of people who seem sick would be similar to saying, I guess, I'm not going to the doctor because every time I go there, I'm in a room full of sick people. Why do I want to go there? He's obviously not very good at his job. Of course we go to the doctor. Of course we go to the waiting room. Because they're all in the process of being made well. That's why they're there. And kind of that's why we're here. We're here because we need something in our lives. Something that is Jesus. That is creating that Christ-like image in all that we do and say. It's not just me that needs to be fixed. If you look around the room, everybody needs to be fixed. We all got stuff that needs to be fixed. And that's why we're here. That's why we come to worship God on Sunday mornings. That's why we read Scripture through the week. That's why we pray. That's why we support one another the way that we do. None of us are here because we're already perfect and doing all the right Christian things all the time. We're here to know and experience the God who loves us where we are right now in our lives. And to know and experience a God that is journeying with us to make us become more like Jesus. You know, when we spend too much time focusing on others and the things they do, we really can't focus on Christ, again, like our glass of water. This lady had to walk around, walking around the church not looking at the glass. And she tried to pick the cup of water up, you know, and I'm going to be very careful here. I already spilled once. And she picked the cup of water up and just walked around and said, you know, Donna, I think that, oh, you know. Strange things could happen. In fact, had she spilled, maybe that other person wouldn't have felt so good. Maybe that other person might have stopped coming to church too because of her actions. All she would have accomplished by looking around and not focusing on Christ would really simply have got others upset. And we see that more and more. She might have had other people come and tell her pastor the same thing she had. All those people that are, you know, never looking at Christ, they're always paying attention to other people and they're all doing bad things. We keep our minds set on Christ. We're reminded, as it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That means even the actions of other people around us, no matter what they do or say, nothing separates us from the love of God. Not even the actions that we ourselves, knowingly or unknowingly, do can separate anyone from God's love. Shouldn't we then be making every effort, every conscious effort, to be loving others and helping them in the same way that God loves us, always and unendingly? Amen. Let us prepare to present our offerings to God this morning. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Let us offer our gifts this day in the same way that they can grow and become great, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Lord, we ask that you will bless this, our offering, that it can be just like that mustard seed or that piece of leavened bread, that it can be small in that sense, but it can grow greatly to bring about your kingdom. And we pray this now in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it was very good to be back this Sunday, and I'm thankful that Mo Anderson was able to help out last week, and the service went well. I hear reports of, we always do. Mo is wonderful, and Mo and I are hoping that someday we can do we did one service together. We'd like to do one again, because we never get to see each other very often, because she's usually filling in when I'm away. I do thank Mo for her faithfulness. I know when I was off back in April with my back problems, she contacted me several times while I was away to see how I was doing, which was just speaks wonders of her and her concern for us as our congregation. Mo's involved in so many different activities around Burlington and the area, filling in many times, and got her own work that she's doing, and yet here she is thinking about us, and it's just wonderful that she does that. I think it speaks wonders of us as a congregation and what God is doing here within this congregation and the care that we have for one another. And that's what this prayer time is all about. It's a time for us to be praying for one another and the needs in our world. We read in Romans this morning that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We're on a journey of becoming and fully Christ, and we do not fully know in so many ways how to pray, and we're given this promise that even when we don't have the words, the Spirit helps us in our weakness and our lack of words. So let us come before God this morning, offering prayers as best we can, confident that the Spirit is praying for us according to God's will, and we'll have an opportunity, as we've been doing while I've been here, that you can say some names out loud of people in your lives that may be in need and people you are concerned about. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, you have blessed us all with an understanding and that same kind of wisdom in that sense that you've given Solomon in so many ways. We've had that ability to choose good. And Lord, we come before you now to do a good thing in that sense, something you've called us to do that is a good thing, and that is prayer. You've given this blessed gift to us, but it's also a very large responsibility, because, Lord, there are so many things going on in our world. There's so many things going on in our own lives and in our family and friends. It's almost overwhelming, and I think that's where that promise comes in. That when we're overwhelmed and don't know where to begin, your Spirit has words and speaks them for us according to your will. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time this morning, that we can be thinking of the folks and needs and situations in our experience in our life in the last week or so. And in particular, Lord, we continue to thank you for answering prayers that have been going up from all sorts of people for the fires that have been going on in British Columbia. People have been able to get home and kind of reestablish themselves. But equally, there's been yet another call to have people leave their homes in some other areas in British Columbia. And so, Lord, we pray that you can help these folks. It's a very physical need they have to protect their belongings and their life possessions and their lives. And Lord, be with them and help them to be calm and be calmed and be taken care of while they're out of their homes. And Lord, now we come before you with this time with the people in our own lives and friends and family and situations. And we offer these out loud, Lord, because we know that we unite our minds around this and hold that name up, regardless of what the need may be. We're holding that person's name up in unison as your people to put them in your hands and put them in trust in you. So we take that time now. Thank you for these names, Lord. Thank you for these names that have been spoken out loud, that we can think of that name and hold that name to you. Thank you for the many names that have been said in silence in our own hearts and minds. Lord, we do hold these people up to you. We pray, Lord, for those who are suffering in sort of a silence in so many ways with different illnesses, diagnoses that have been given out in the last while for people and are struggling to deal with. We thank you for the faithfulness of those folks, Lord, who continue to trust you. And for those that are struggling, Lord, and trying to see your love in their life and to be able to trust, we do pray that you will bring that person into their life and that calmness in their heart that they need to experience that everlasting love of God. Help these things to not, as we've been saying, in like an umbrella, to shade out your light. Help us, Lord, to shine a light that is healing and a light that is hopeful and a light that is helpful. Thank you for this time of prayer, Lord. We trust and we have confidence to trust because of Christ and his love. And we pray this in his name. Amen. We'll join together now in our final hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, number 687, remembering that Jesus is ours. Nothing can separate us from that love. Number 687. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go this week. Reflect that love. Reflect that light in your life and in the lives of others. Now may God, who searches the heart, Jesus, who loves, whose love overcomes all division, and the Spirit, which helps us in our weakness, Continue to lead us all into life that we may serve with abundance and with joy, now and forever. Amen.